We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, turning today to Isaiah 19, beginning at verse 16, and we'll go to the end of the chapter. And Isaiah 19, beginning at verse 16. Now, this is a remarkable passage. In fact, this morning's text from 1 John is going to tell us, do not love the world. And if there's ever a portion of Scripture that does not love the world, it's these middle chapters of Isaiah. Pretty much everybody is getting judged. Everyone around them is getting condemned. It is a fest of world condemnation. And yet, how interesting that in the midst of all this, we have this remarkable chapter that speaks of salvation for the entire world. And you have a picture here of revival taking root and sparking into flame in, of all places, Egypt. Now, the first part of the chapter is an oracle of judgment against Egypt. But then at the end, this country, who was one of the main threats, one of the most bitter foes to Israel, that is where they'd been in slavery and had been subjected under terrible Pharaoh. There's a picture here of revival taking place there and then spreading throughout the world. Now, it begins in verse 16 with a picture of Egypt trembling. In fact, verse 1 says, in that day the Egyptians will be like women. Now, don't get offended. The Bible acknowledges that women are as valiant, if not more valiant than men, but they are not in the ancient world trained as warriors. And so that's a picture of a people who are in fear of what's happening. And what's bringing them to fear is the knowledge of the Lord of hosts from the people of Judah. Now, it's always the case, you look in church history, that when there is revival, it is sparked by the fear of the Lord. It's not by chance that when the Great Awakening took root in America, it began with Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, the proclamation of sin, wrath, and divine judgment. Now, what's interesting today, we live in a generation of evangelicals, even Reformed evangelicals, who want revival, and therefore we tone it down. We don't want anyone to be offended at the thought that God might be holy and wrathful, but the entire testimony of Scripture and of church history says it is precisely the proclamation of a holy God and his wrath on sin, so that sinners, by the ministry of the Spirit, are brought to conviction and they fear them. That's the very thing being said here. And the result will be, starting in verse 18, that there will be five cities in the land of Egypt. It's very interesting. They will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord of hosts. Now, Egyptians did not speak the language of those backwater, redneck Canaanites. They were kind of like Americans today. We don't learn your language, you learn our language. That's our attitude. But that's going to change. They're going to come under the influence of the covenant people of God. They will swear allegiance to the Lord of hosts. One of these will be called the City of Destruction. Now, actually, there's a textual variant there. It's not unlikely that's a reference to one of the leading centers, Heliopolis, the City of the Sun. But I think Christians reading the City of Destruction can only think of Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian flees the City of Destruction, fleeing the wrath to come, seeking a way to be forgiven. So it would be in Egypt. There will be an altar there. There will be a sign and witness. There will be revival in Egypt. Now, is this prophesying a specific event whereby five cities in Egypt would be converted? I do not believe that is the case. We're being given a representative picture here in the midst of this long section of judgment on the nations, where God, through the warnings of judgments, is going to convert people to fear him and know him, to trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and says there'll be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Now, that's Israel's enemy on the other side. So it's both the bad guys. It's a picture of the whole world. Now, when did this happen? When was this passage fulfilled? The answer is it's being fulfilled now. It was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came, and when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and the apostles were spread out, and the gospel went out. It's still going on today. It's a picture of the missionary spread of the gospel. Now, one of the great encouragements for us here is, If you were to ask the Israelites, of all these nations being judged in Isaiah, who are the two least likely to turn to the Lord? Egypt and Assyria would be the answers. Don't think that your ungodly neighbor or family member or coworker cannot be saved. They are not your enemy, although there's a management of that. We'll talk about that in the sermon today. But they can be saved. God's saying here, I'm going to do a mighty work of redemption. Maybe you've not been saved. Maybe you think that you're too far. You sinned too grievously. You can't be saved. No, turn to the Lord of hosts. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Believe in his forgiveness and you will be saved. There will be a testimony in the land. Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. He truly is the Savior of the whole world. Well, with these things being said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning with verse 16 of Isaiah 19. In that day, the Egyptians will be like women and tremble with fear before the hand that the Lord of hosts shakes over them. And the land of Judah will become a terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom it is mentioned will fear because of the purpose that the Lord of hosts has purposed against them. In that day there will be five cities in the land of Egypt that speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord of hosts. One of these will be called the City of Destruction. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. When they cry to the Lord because of oppressors, he will send them a savior and defender and deliver them. And the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day and worship with sacrifice and offering, and they will make vows to the Lord and perform them. And the Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing, and they will return to the Lord. And he will listen to their pleas for mercy and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.